Communication Error.
Welcome to episode 51 of Communication Error, a gaming debate podcast where we may not always agree, but if we listen to what one another has to say, maybe we'll be able to fix our communication error. I'm one of your hosts, Cheesy, and the man who is living like there is no tomorrow, John Ebo.
What's up? There is no tomorrow. I watched Fallout.
The TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Is it good?
It's good. It's really good. Nice. Yeah. I mean, you never know when it's going to end, so live it up.
That's true. I want to watch Fallout. I started The Sopranos, so kind of the same sentiment. You never know when it's going to end.
And I also had some adult beverages tonight, so we'll see how it goes.
Whoa. Somebody's celebrating because you're done with busy season.
Busy season's over, officially. We went out for like happy hour afterwards, and I wanted to be the cool manager, so I bought a round of shots.
Oh, okay.
And You're
not like the regular moms. You're like a cool mom.
I'm a cool mom. I'm a cool manager. Yeah. No. I don't drink. I drink for social occasions, and that's it. So I'm feeling it right now. I had two shots and then like three beers.
Wow.
So nice, yeah, it's been a little riding on a cloud right now.
Well, all right. That sounds like a good time over there.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. So do you have any goals now that busy season is done? Like you got some things lined up?
Sleep.
Yep.
No, I do have some goals. I am going to come back to streaming. I actually streamed on TikTok over the weekend. I really don't know where I want to stream. I don't know.
You don't know where or what?
Where? So I streamed I streamed on TikTok, and it shot up to like 200 viewers immediately. It felt good. But then it shot way back down to like 5 viewers.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So I don't know if that's the best place for it. I know N64 Josh has been having a good success with it on TikTok. But I don't know. I think I'm going to try out like Twitch. I'm just going to see what fits the vibe.
Yeah, but I think this is interesting. I don't know if we've ever talked about streaming on here, so maybe we could leave that as a discussion in itself. But what's going to make you happy? Because honestly, it all just comes down to consistency.
Yeah, it does come down to consistency. I don't know. I don't know what I want from it right now.
Okay.
Because before I stopped streaming, which was probably over a year ago, yeah, I cared about the numbers. I wanted the dopamine hits of higher numbers. But now I just kind of want to vibe with a community that wants to hang out and enjoy the games that I'm playing with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, the numbers always get to your head anyway.
Well, Johnny, we do have a great community here.
We do. So if you are listening, make sure you follow me on Twitch. I'll probably be going live on Twitch soon. Follow me on TikTok. Maybe I'll go live on TikTok. Subscribe to me on YouTube. I might go live on YouTube.
Follow him on Facebook. He might go live on Facebook.
Maybe. Maybe we'll just stream everywhere.
If MySpace does live, I don't even know what's happening over there. I know MySpace is still a thing.
Oh, is it?
Maybe you just do it for the memes.
I think I could be the premier live space streamer. Or MySpace.
MySpace, yeah. Maybe LiveSpace is a thing.
Maybe. I mean, there is a... Oh, God, what is it called? Live something. There is, like, another streaming service. There's Rumble. I'm not going to stream on Rumble. But then there is another one. It has Live in its name. Oh, there's Kick as well. I'm not going to do that. But I don't know. I do want to stream. I do want to come back to streaming. I did enjoy streaming the other night. I just got to be consistent. Like you said, like it's just all about consistency.
Yeah. It's funny too. Like we won't get too much into it, but I also have thought about getting back into streaming. because I miss like hanging out with the people in the chat. It's just the little things that I'm not a big fan of. It's like, I've always compared streaming as like a one person show, and you're up on stage and you're like streaming a certain game, or like you're performing, let's say like Romeo and Juliet. And then there's somebody in the crowd that uses their community points and they're like, hey, are you going to do Hamlet anytime soon? It's like,
yeah,
no, I'm just doing Romeo and Juliet right now. And then there's another person that uses their community points and they're like, I think you should juggle. You should juggle right now.
Yeah, I mean, no, but that's something that you control, right?
Like, it's true.
You set those up. Like, you set up those channel point redemptions to make you do it. I understand why people do it, because you want to make it more entertaining. But at this point of my content creation, I just want to vibe. Like, I don't want to be a dance monkey. Like, I just want to play games and show the games that I enjoy playing to other people.
Yeah.
And I just have to get it in my head. Like, you know, maybe the audience isn't as big for that, but you'll find an audience that really vibes with you. Like, when I was chasing numbers, I would do Fortnite and I would do like fashion shows in Fortnite, and it's just exhausting. Because that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to do that. Like, that's not fun for me.
Yeah. All right, let's table this conversation. I think this is a good discussion. Yeah.
We'll bring this back.
But speaking of community, you can follow us on Discord. We got a great community there. And any way that you want to get your questions and comments on the community patch notes episodes, that's like the best way to do it. We also have a Twitter, we have an Instagram, we have a TikTok. Calm Error Podcast, and give us 5-star reviews. Only the best reviews get read on the show, which are just 5 stars, so whatever that means to you. And Johnny, what are we talking about tonight?
We are talking about indie games.
Yeah.
And how much I love them.
Yeah, this was your suggestion.
I am a huge fan of indie games, especially this year, when Nintendo clearly has nothing to give us and will give us nothing, they're not showing up to Gamescom, so definitely don't have anything to show.
Why can't they just do their own thing?
But why would you? I mean, they can. It's just like, Gamescom is a huge opportunity to advertise your games. So if you don't have anything to show, you're not going to show up. They don't have anything to show. You just have to deal with it. You just have to face it. It's not happening this year.
When is Gamescom?
August.
It's in August and they're not showing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So more fuel.
That we know of.
No, they said no.
Well, right now. Because they don't have anything.
Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, but to get us through this slow year is our indie games. Indie games are truly carrying gaming right now.
What have you been playing?
So I have been playing my most played game this year is Balatro. Mm-hmm. That's an indie game. I put like 30 plus hours into it so far. I've been playing Pepper Grinder. What was that other game? The one Beast Boy.
Oh, Berserk Boy.
Berserk Boy. I played a little bit of Berserk Boy.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that on NPC this week.
Yeah, and then there's a new game that just came out. It's called Let's Revolution, which is a roguelike, like every single indie game. That exists right now. But it's a roguelike puzzle game. It reminds me of, have you played Minesweeper?
Yeah.
So you know how, like,
I fully understand Minesweeper, but I have played it.
So when you click on a tile on Minesweeper, it has a number. Usually has a number.
Yeah. And like, that's supposed to tell you like how close you are to the bomb, right?
Yeah. So say if it's a one, then one of the tiles around you is a bomb.
Okay.
If it's a zero, there's nothing around you. So,
and then you're supposed to like flag the bombs, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you have to like determine where the bombs are on the map, or the mines, whatever you want to call them. That's essentially what you do in this Let's Revolution. Like, it gives you a tile. It says there's, it's not like how close you are to an enemy. It's how close you are to a pathway. So there might be an enemy on it. There might not be an enemy on it. But if you're next to a road, it will say like one or two, however many tiles are next to a road.
Okay.
It reminds me of Minesweeper a lot. I've been enjoying it. It's not as addicting as Balatro, but I still have been enjoying it.
And you saw there's an update for Brotato?
I did see there's an update for Brotato. That's not coming out until May, I think. Vampire Survivors gets an update like all the time. And I did find it interesting. We were talking to, I'm going to look up his name. So I think they listened to this show.
Okay. Well, are you talking about a certain indie game or?
No, I'm talking about a person.
Well, I know, but like, what was the conversation?
Oh, about Hades and Dead Cells.
Okay. I had a feeling this conversation was going to come up.
So Young Reg.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Young Reg.
Yeah.
So they said they prefer, or they think Dead Cells is better than Hades.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they said, hold on. Now I got to find.
Johnny's prepared, everybody.
Well, I got to find the response. It's very. Okay. So they said, I believe the gameplay is a bit better, more weapon options and stages due to the ongoing support. Also more approachable for new roguelike players. Hades has the edge with art style and story for sure, though. I'm a fan of both. I mean, they're both fantastic. They're both, I would say, 9 to 10 out of 10s. Dead Cells and Hades.
And so you commented to me and said, I don't think that you've ever played Dead Cells.
Have you ever played Dead Cells?
I have not. And I felt like I want to apologize to this listener. Because I felt embarrassed because obviously like Dead Cells is one of like the big indie games that most people have played. And especially when it comes to roguelikes. And I was like, yeah, I can see your point on that, but I've never played Dead Cells. And it's like, after I sent it, it was one of those things that's like, oh, why did I do that? I could have just been honest. You know, I didn't have to be cool about it. Like, I haven't played Dead Cells, and I really love that we're talking about indie games because I think you definitely have played more than me, but I also have played a fair share of indie games, just probably the more liked or well-known indie games than some that are just not as well-known.
So yeah, like,
I think it's cool that you're able to like find those games.
Yeah, I think we jumped like right into the which indie games are great, but we should like back up and really like explain what an indie game is.
Yes, because not a lot of people know. And I was thinking about this earlier, like Dave the Diver, we had that situation last year with the Game Awards and people calling it an indie game because it looks like a 2D pixelated game. So it must be an indie developed game, and it wasn't.
Yeah, so I Googled this, and it says, what qualifies as an indie game? It says indie games stand for independent video games. Mm-hmm. At the highest level, they are games created by individuals or small teams who operate independently from major studios, both financially and creatively.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there are games that I don't know, like they look like indie games, you know.
Uh-huh.
When you think of an indie game, you think of 2D pixelated art, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, not hyper realistic graphics, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like, is Cuphead an indie game?
Yeah, that because it wasn't it. I don't know. Developed by, what is that studio?
It's MDR. MDR. Or MDHR.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wasn't it backed by Microsoft? By
Microsoft, yeah.
Or like funded by Microsoft? So does that count as an indie game? And does it even matter, right? Does it even matter?
Why wouldn't it matter? What do you mean by that?
Like, a game's a game. Like, does it matter if it's indie or not?
I think the title of having it be an indie game is that it was made by independent developers. But I get what you're saying. Like, should we categorize it as an indie game? Like, does that give it less value? I'm not saying it does, but like, is that how people perceive it?
Yeah, because I've made videos about how if I think even one of our TikToks or that we posted recently about, I think the Gaming is Stale one might have had this, where we said, you know, play an indie game. And then people were saying, well, indie games are just like 2D pixelated trash that I don't want to play.
Uh-huh. And that's sad because there's just so many good indie games out there, especially with what you're saying is like a lot of AAA games, or you've said this in the past, is that they just kind of are the same. But if you're looking for innovation, you're going to get that in independent games.
Yeah, like who would have thought somebody would have made a Minesweeper-like game in the year 2024?
Or a poker-like game.
Yeah, a poker roguelike. Like,
yeah.
AAA games would never take that risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there are games that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there are games that look AAA but are actually independent, like Baldur's Gate 3. Isn't that an independent game?
I think that's technically independent, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a game you think of when you hear indie game.
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't think Baldur's Gate 3, game of the year, you know, these hyper-realistic graphics and complex RPG systems.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of another indie game that's like that, though.
I mean, if only we did our research ahead of time, we probably...
Yeah, we might have been able. We might have been able to find it a little bit more.
So when you... This is so weird. When you Google, is Baldur's Gate 3 an indie game, the first thing that pops up on Google is meanwhile, so I don't know what they're talking about. It's like we just cut to part of the Justice League. Meanwhile, Baldur's Gate 3 is technically indie, but did not make the cut. But I don't know what cut they're talking about. So.
I'm assuming like the Game Awards. It wasn't,
it wasn't nominated
for Best Independent Game, yeah.
Oh yeah,
and then there's things where I'm thinking
game of the year.
Like I just played Pepper Grinder, which is a Devolver Digital game, but Devolver Digital is a publisher.
Uh huh.
So a lot of their games aren't made by Devolver Digital; they're made by other studios.
Uh huh.
But Devolver Digital is a publisher, so does that make them not indie games or?
I think there's kind of a gray area when talking about what is an indie game and what isn't an indie game.
And then that just leads me to be like, does it matter? Does it like, if I guess the thing that matters or the thing that causes people pause is when they hear indie game, they have a certain type of game in their mind and it could turn them off. Like, if you would have said Baldur's Gate 3 is an indie game, like, I wonder if less people would have checked it out.
I don't know.
It's just like Nintendo games, there's like a stigma for indie games.
But Baldur's Gate is different because it's not that 2D pixelated look.
Yeah, I know.
And there are some. What I'm saying is, even if they did call it an indie game, maybe people would have checked it out, and maybe that actually would have pointed people in the right direction of playing more independent games. Even if they don't technically look like Baldur's Gate 3, you're just supporting other independent developed games.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think if people would have realized, like, hey, this is what an independent studio can do, maybe they would check out other indie games. Mm-hmm. Some of the, you know, there are some really popular indie games. Stardew Valley, yeah. Super popular.
Yeah.
Terraria, Hollow Knight. Like, they're all extremely popular games.
Celeste.
Yeah, all those games are very popular. But I still think people don't see indie games as a viable option when getting games.
Because?
Just because, like, you know, we're in 2024. People don't want to play 2D platformers.
I think that's just a lie. Like, honestly, when you think of, like, Among Us, how many people played Among Us at that time?
Yeah, but that was different, though. That was different.
What was different about it?
Because it was, like, during the pandemic, it was a social game that a ton of streamers were playing. So people checked it out because streamers checked it out, not because they were interested in the game. No, it was because the streamers checked it out. It wasn't, they didn't see Among Us and be like, oh my God, I need to play this game. No, it's because like XQC was playing it, or, you know, some of the bigger streamers were playing it, so they wanted to check it out.
I get what you're saying, but even when they weren't watching the streamer, they probably were playing the game just
because the streamer, because they checked it out from the streamer. So, like, you'll see, like, so Power World, for example, is an indie game that blew up because of a ton of streamers were playing it. Fall Guys, same thing. Indie game blew up.
How Power World blew up, though. I mean, yes, having streamers behind it definitely helped, but it was because it was like Pokemon, but with guns. Like, that's the elevator pitch.
Yeah, and it worked, but a ton of streamers checked it out. Yeah, maybe that's not a good example because they had that marketing of Pokemon with guns. But Fall Guys, that didn't have, like, that was organic. Like, they, people just played that game.
So let me give you one. And I think this is technically an indie game, but you can tell me if I'm wrong. Fortnite.
I guess, yeah, you're thinking technically is an indie game.
I mean, it's like one of the biggest games in the world, so they definitely... Well,
yeah, I mean, it probably initially was an indie game, but now, now they're, you know, the most profitable publisher or whatever.
See, like, I'm so afraid to talk again, on this topic.
Again, streamers promoted that.
Yeah, no, I you're right. What I was going to say, though, is I'm afraid to talk about this topic because I think that they're... is we already talked about how there's people that say, like, oh, this is an indie game, this isn't an indie game, and like claiming something like Fortnite is an independent game, and then just having people come at you because it isn't or it is. I don't know, and maybe that's the problem, is that we don't have a definition for it, or like what you were saying is maybe we don't need to have the title attached to it.
I don't know who it benefits to say it's an indie game versus, well, I don't even know what else you would call it. A self-published game? I don't know.
Like, I imagine that, like, these developers are wanting to be more funded so they can make a bigger budget game. I don't even know what I'm saying, because I just don't even, like, I'm not in this world. So maybe they want to stay small, or maybe they're trying to grow to be big. Like, is that the point, or do you just want to stay small because you're not like everyone else?
No, I doubt that. I don't think anybody on purpose doesn't want to become bigger than they are.
Yeah, everybody wants to grow.
Yeah. So, but at what point do they not become independent anymore? Like, you know, Fall Guys got bought out. Rocket League got bought out.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're not technically independent.
Mm-hmm.
But a team like Team Cherry, they are still independent. So when Silksong comes out, it will be, you know, one of the biggest anticipated games just in general, not just not just independent games, but games in general.
Why do you think that is? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think that there were a lot of streamers that were streaming Hollow Knight.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why that one.
And it's a Metroidvania, which we've talked about how people don't really enjoy Metroidvanias, but Hollow Knight is like one of the biggest games in the genre, and people are waiting for Silksong.
Yeah, but I don't even know how many units Hollow Knight has sold. But now I'm thinking, like, is it as big as we think it is? Or I mean, are we...
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people that are waiting for it.
So it says, as of February... This is from 2019. As of February 2019, Hollow Knight has sold over 2.8 million copies, which is a lot.
That's not...
For an indie game, but bad. For a AAA game, it's not breaking records.
No, but for an indie game, I think that's pretty good, because when you look at, like, Metroid... Dread, what, that was 3 million?
3 million, yeah.
And that was the what you just read was from 2019, so it's very possible that that's gone up.
Yeah, and also, like, it's also on every platform,
right?
It's not just the Switch.
Yeah,
but, you know, honestly, I thought it was bigger than that. I thought it was going to be more than that. The Stardew Valley is huge. Like, that sold 30 million copies. Now that is huge.
Yeah, and he's working on a second game.
Yeah, so I don't... So I'm actually thinking of Minecraft as, like, the original independent game.
Yeah, I could see that, for sure.
And that, you know, completely blew up, and it got bought out for billions of dollars. So I think that's the ultimate goal. Like, if I were an independent developer, that would be my goal. To make a game or a series where it gets enough recognition where I would get bought out by a big publisher.
I wonder, though, just because I'm not, like, a big fan of Minecraft, if the community is still happy with where Minecraft has gone. If, because, you know, like, once you become a sellout, people are like, oh, I liked you when I liked your older stuff.
Yeah, but people are gonna do that anyway, and it's over 10 years old. Like, how can they sustain that type of community after 10 years or 10 plus years? Now it's way more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't blame them for selling out. I would sell out in a heartbeat. If anybody says they wouldn't, they're lying.
Now they're getting a movie too.
Yeah, if somebody offers you $3 billion or whatever they offered them, you're not turning that down.
Yeah.
Same with, like, Fall Guys got bought out.
Yeah.
And Rocket League got bought out. Like, you're not turning down that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, personally, I think that's the goal of, if I was an independent developer, that would be the goal.
So, again, Minecraft was big also because of streamers. So, do you think that, like, if you have a streamer that is playing these independent games, they do better?
Oh, 100%.
Is that the way that independent games, like, catch attention?
Yeah, it's not even a question. Like, all of the, like, another one's Phasmophobia. Like, that blew up because of streamers. Like, it's not even a question. If your game is popular on Twitch, even for, you know, 2 weeks, it doesn't even have to be that long. You'll get your sales, make your money, and then you'll be good.
I think the next big one, and again, it's Devolver Digital, so you tell me if it's technically an indie game or not. Plucky Squire. That game is going to be huge. Honestly,
I don't know.
I think you don't think Plucky Squire is going to be big?
I think people are going to like it. It's not going to be some of these huge indie games big. Like, XQC is not going to play this game. He's not going to play the game.
I don't know, man. No, this game looks like it has so much creativity in it.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Why does it not matter?
It doesn't matter. Like, people what do you want mean? To it doesn't see matter. People want to see like multiplayer stuff. Like Gang Beast was big because it was so weird and multiplayer. Party mm-hmm. Animals, Fall Guys, like Among Us, they're all multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to get other streamers. I honestly don't think Plucky Squire is going to be popular with the Nintendo Switch crowd, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think that's a game for me right now. I can see being nominated for at least Game of the Year.
I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean like, there's always an indie game nominated for Game of the Year.
Always?
For the most part. I mean, It Takes Two a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Celeste, I think, was out there.
Okay, but again,
Hades was there.
It Takes Two.
I wonder. All right, so Hades is fantastic, right? We always talk about Hades.
That's super giant.
Yeah, super giant. I want to see how many copies Hades has sold.
Which is like on every platform, right?
Yeah, I mean, who knows how accurate these are, but it says during its nearly 2 year long early access period, Hades sold 700,000 copies. Within 3 days of its official release, it sold an additional 300,000 copies for a total of over 1 million. Which, like, yeah, it's good for an indie game.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, like, drawing a blank. Power World sold, like, 20 million copies in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Again, though, it's kind of different, though.
I just don't think people really care about indie games. And it's sad. Like, I want them to care about indie games. I really, really do. But they just don't. They just don't. And I'm hoping, like, the Nintendo Switch crowd should resonate with a lot of indies. Like, I'll be really interested to see what the sales numbers are for Pepper Grinder, because Nintendo advertise that, like, on their main platforms. So I wonder what, and they gave it a demo.
Yeah.
Like, what's that going to sell? Probably not a ton.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it's going to sell a lot. Like, even the people that were interested in it, I think, kind of dropped off, or that could be an issue, too, is that there's not a lot of advertising for indie games, because obviously that just takes up more money. And so maybe you don't have the money to advertise as much. Like, you have your own social media accounts, but from there, like, what else do you do? Just one word of mouth.
The one that that's essentially, and you never know what's gonna hit.
Yeah.
The one that I'm interested to see is coming out in a week or a week and a half is another Crab's Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested to see if anybody, like, how that does with the, I feel like the marketing for that has been good. So I'm hoping it does well, and I'm hoping it's good.
Has it been? Like, you say that it's been good, but what makes you say that?
I mean, they showed it in the Nintendo Direct.
Right.
I think multiple Nintendo Directs.
Or maybe an indie showcase as
well. Yeah, indie showcase, and I mean, it's on all platforms. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. The really big indie games, which it's like, you know, not every game needs to be.
Well, let's look at like Celeste or Shovel Knight, or because like when I think of indie games, I think the first one that comes to mind for me is Shovel Knight. And that's like kind of what started the hype around them.
Yeah, I think so. Shovel Knight, yeah, is probably one of the first ones to put indie games put them on the map. They had the whole Kickstarter campaign that I think that really rejuvenated the indie scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you honestly see Shovel Knight pop up everywhere, like in indie games Like Shovel Knight is a staple character if there's a crossover.
Shovel Knight is in Yooka-Laylee, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Yooka-Laylee, it's in like one of the fighting games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just in that. Shovel Knight is synonymous with indie games, just like Dead Cells. The Dead Cells characters in a ton of things.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollow Knight, like everybody knows what Hollow Knight is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope Silksong does well, which I think it will. But other than that, I mean, I don't know what other games will resonate. I don't even know like what indie games are coming out that look interesting. Like another Crab's Treasure definitely looks interesting. But other than that, I don't know. And when you go on to the eShop or on to any of these storefronts, there's so much garbage and shovelware.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes people think like, oh, all indie games are this garbage shovelware because that's what's on these storefronts. So I think they need to fix that, where they need to do some sort of testing to say, hey, like these are the good ones versus these ones are trash. At least Nintendo has like sections for featured or like hidden gems. They have some sections on their eShop, but when you just try to scroll the eShop, I get frustrated because it's just a slew of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish they would give indies more respect and get rid of some of this garbage that's on there.
Yeah. And it is surprising how it gets on there. I mean, money probably is the answer.
Yeah. But there, you know, there's a ton of those H-word games every week. There's always a new one on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, can you just stop them from releasing so many?
Yeah.
Or have a rating system. At least Steam has a rating system where you could say, hey, this game sucks or this game doesn't suck.
Yeah.
So give us that on the eShop.
Yeah. I mean, I think about, what was the Jet Set Radio,
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
Yeah. That was indie developed, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That game looks cool, but like really didn't see anybody talking about it. I know, the name's Jer made an awesome, YouTube video about it, a review about it. But other than that, like I just didn't really see a lot of people. And that was something that I feel like there was a demand for because everybody liked Jet Set Radio or they were nostalgic for it, but then they didn't pay up for.
Yeah. I think what possibly hurt that game is the price. It was a $40 game.
Was it worth $40?
Probably, but like when you think of that's another issue with indie games. Like when you think of indie games, you don't want to pay more than $20, right? Hollow Knight's $20, Hades $25. Like they set a precedent that these games are only worth $20 to $30, if not less. So why would I pay $40?
What is Helldivers? Is that independent or no?
I think it's published by Sony, so no.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, that was $40. People love that game. But again,
Baldur's Gate?
That was $60.
Uh-huh.
The Baldur's Gate had a huge success because of streamers. Helldivers had a huge success because of streamers. Another one that's pretty successful right now is Lethal Company. That's another indie game. Yep. And that's because of streamers. So if I was an indie company, I would try to make a multiplayer game, get a big streamer to promote it, and go from there.
Yeah. Like now that I'm thinking about it, it could be kind of cool because I love Celeste. I think that game is beautiful. I love the music. I love the art style. the overall story and the message in it, it would be kind of cool to have a multiplayer mode for Celeste and see who could, you know, get through the levels as fast as possible. Especially with the speedrunning community. I mean, they love that game already. So if you just had some speedrunners playing against each other, that would be so fun to watch and play.
I like when I'm thinking of these games like Celeste. To me, Celeste is a staple of indie games.
Yes. Yeah.
And a staple of games in general. Like everybody knows, should know what Celeste is, but I just looked up the sales units and it's 500,000 units.
Oh, that's way too low. I mean, that's pretty good. It's good numbers, but like,
yeah, I know. But like, definitely when you deserves
thinking, more recognition.
When you're thinking about other games, other AAA games.
Yeah.
You're talking millions, multiple millions of copies. And then when you look at an indie game, a super popular indie game, it's coming nowhere close to that. So what are these non-popular indie games doing?
Yeah.
And how are they even sustainable to do it?
I'm curious, how much did World of Goo sell? Because we're getting a sequel for that game. And I never played the first one. Did you play the first one?
Was that on the Wii?
Yes. And I think it was part of either the Wii or DSiWare. Do you remember those?
I do. And these games are old, so it's not really easy to find.
Okay.
But it does say it sold 125,000 units in the first week on iPad.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it found its success on mobile.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, I want more people to play indie games. I don't know how to get more people to play indie games. Maybe just have, just promote it more. Mm. You just need more people to promote these games.
It just costs money. So again, it's all just word of mouth.
But yeah, not even paying people to promote them, but just, you know, if you like a game, make a video about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I find myself not doing it either. But I want to. But again, it's and like you make a video about this game that nobody knows about, you don't get any views. So you don't want to make videos about it.
Yeah, but I mean, should that matter? It's kind of like what you were talking about.
But I mean, honestly, our content is driven on, like, your content is driven off views. Like, if you don't get views, like, what is the point of the content?
I get what you're saying, but at the beginning of this show, you were talking about streaming and how, like, you were worried about the numbers, but really you just want to vibe with the community. And if you find a game that you really love, like Balatro, you could be talking about Balatro and nobody knows what it is, but then it may blow up because a streamer is playing it and then somebody comes across your video and then all of a sudden that gets a bunch of views and you were the one that made a video about it, right? So like you kind of said it earlier, when these developers are putting out a game, you never know what's going to hit. So yeah. Why would you not make content around it?
No, I know.
That's only going to help the developers.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't like, I shouldn't think about just like, oh, what, this isn't going to get me views, so I'm not going to post it. But it's hard to get out of that mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Balatro is sort of popular because, again, of streamers.
Who's been streaming it?
Well, I mean, when it first came out, it was pretty popular on Twitch.
When did it come out? Because, like, I know that it was at the beginning of the year, wasn't it?
It was like a couple months ago, I think.
Oh, okay. But it already has sold over 1 million copies?
Oh, I don't know if... Yeah, I think so.
I think they announced that.
Yeah.
And then they have a, like, a roadmap.
Top-tier deck builder Balatro hits 1 million sales in less than a month.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and again, I'm pretty sure, like, whenever that dropped, like, somebody streamed, like, a bunch of people streamed it, and people picked it up, because that's why I picked it up. That's honestly why I pick a lot of these indies up, because I don't know about them until, I could browse the eShop and see what's on there, but I don't know what's good. Like, All In Media Podcast, they cover a lot of indie games, so if you like indie games, check out All In Media. We had Seth and Eric on, but they cover a bunch of indie games, and I always take their recommendations.
Yeah, and I just want to give them a quick shout out too. Congrats on your 200th episode. That's incredible. I mean, we just made it to 50, so 200 episodes, Johnny. You and I will be dead at that point.
old and gray. But yeah, I mean, I want to know, like, from our community, if they play indie games, and if they don't, like, why not?
Yeah.
So, you know, you said that you played a lot of the bigger indie games.
Yeah, I've played like Celeste and Hollow Knight. I played Golf Story, which was amazing, and then super disappointed with Sports Story, but that seemed like that was just in development hell. And just a lot of people not getting along. I've played Hades. I've played more than that. One of my favorite series is SteamWorld. Like, anytime that those guys make a game, I'm on it.
Yeah, SteamWorld games are good.
Yeah.
You're not playing the best, or one of the best popular ones.
Balatro, Vampire Survivors. Roteo. Yeah.
I would say Vampire Survivors and Balatro. I think those
are
must-plays.
Which one is your favorite? Pick one. You have to choose one of your children. Which
Balatro.
One is it?
Balatro is better.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, Vampire Survivors.
It's yeah, like, that meme is dead now.
I mean, you should pick them both up. Vampire Survivors is $5, and it is supported all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to get your money's worth out of a game, Survivors. I
mean, it's $5. That already is enough.
Yeah, but then there's some DLC for like $2.
Yeah. Oh, that's too much. That's way too much.
But yeah, why wouldn't everybody own Vampire Survivors? I don't get it.
Okay.
How many times do I have to tell people to buy Vampire Survivors?
For me, and I'm so close to buying it, and I'm still playing Hades because I'm just excited for Hades 2, and there's still like more story that I'm discovering, and it's just it's so good. I have no idea how many hours I've put into that game, but it still is like a new game to me.
You could check it.
I know. I just don't have my Switch around me, but I'll update you next week. Vampire Survivors, I know, is super addicting. That's the vibe I get. That's
how you talk about it. A good
you need
vibe.
Your hit all the time. It's I know. That's what they all say, Johnny. And then, you know,
it's a good feeling, right? It feels good.
It's like, you don't watch South Park, so this isn't going to make any sense to you, but it's, everyone's playing Guitar Hero and Randy, the adult, finds like a game that's like chase the dragon. And that's like all it is. But he's just like on the couch, just passing time. And I feel like that is what Vampire Survivor is like, it's just all, and there's like so much going on all at once. But it's 30-minute runs, and then I'm like, I don't know. I just know I'm going to get addicted to it. But then I play a run in Hades, and it takes like almost like 40 minutes, 50 minutes to finish a run.
Yeah, so you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
Vampires, all right. So last week, you talked about like problem-solving games helping you problem-solve.
Vampire Survivors. You shot it down. You shot it down, I'm really interested in what you were about to say.
I'm still right about that, because Vampire Survivors is the complete opposite of problem solving. That is a turn your brain off and look at fun colors for 30 minutes.
I think that's still problem solving, because what I get from Vampire Survivors is that it feels like the game Snake, where you're constantly having to move and make sure that you're not going to like run into yourself. Obviously, like, there's enemies in Vampire Survivors that you're trying to avoid.
Sorry.
So you have to figure out how you're going to move around the map without dying. Like, that still is kind of problem solving, and you have to be quick on your feet about it.
You don't have to be that quick.
I mean,
it's an auto shooter. It's fine.
Yeah, but you still can die. So it's not like it's just an automatic win.
I want to know what they're going to do next. I want to know what a Vampire Survivors 2 looks like. That is my main draw to indie games, is what are they going to do? Like, their mechanics are so different. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for a Shovel Knight sequel forever. We've had other Shovel Knight games. They did, like, Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon, which is a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done other things. But I want to know, like, what new mechanics. Like, the pogo stick of the shovel is great. Yeah. I know it's from DuckTales. Whatever. I don't care. But it works so well in Shovel Knight. Uh-huh. And Pepper Grinder is the same way. Like, that platforming is so different than anything else that you'll play.
Mm-hmm.
Balatro,
he knows, like, it's from Drill Dozer, but it's okay.
But not, yeah, I don't know. Balatro, like, when am I ever going to play a roguelike poker game?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get those experiences anywhere else besides indie games.
Yeah, I never played Neon White. You did, right?
Yeah, and that's like a first-person platformer
card game. Yeah, it's a deck builder.
Yeah. So there's a meme where, like, well, now I don't know if it changed, but every indie game coming out is like a deck builder.
I mean, I think that is a little true, or a roguelike or whatever.
I mean, it's not like, roguelikes. So, all right. So speaking of roguelikes,
yeah. Mm.
Are they just artificially inflating playtime?
Yes, if they're good.
Well, I mean, like, so say you could beat a run in 30, like in Hades, you could beat a run in 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But you could put an astronomical more amount of time just redoing the run over and over and over again to unlock more things. So, like, is the game actually, does the game actually have that much content, or is it just reusing everything? Because the run's essentially the same. You get different boons, but it's the same enemies, it's the same bosses. Them. Like, the run's essentially the same. The content is the same in the run.
I mean, going back to our conversation last week with difficulty, it depends on how you turn up the difficulty on it. And if you want more enemies, if you want more traps, if you want things to be harder to buy, I think it's the experience. But, like, with a game like Hades, honestly, I don't know if that's a good example, because there is a lot of content in that game and a lot of dialogue, a lot of story. Like, I don't think that I have ran into the same dialogue, which is really cool. And maybe I have, but it doesn't feel like it. It always feels fresh. It always feels new. And there's still relationships that I am developing and learning more about. And there was even like this new thing I added to a run because I finally like used my diamonds on whatever it was that I wanted to buy. And then that brought me into a whole new area. And so that was really cool. I think, yeah, roguelikes definitely are just padding playtime, but if they're fun, if they're made well, if they're not, then people are going to stop playing them. And they're not easy either. So it depends on the type of player that is playing them.
They're not easy to artificially inflate the playtime. It's like playing the arcade games,
mm-hmm.
or you know the quarter eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're meant to you're meant to lose.
Yeah, one more level.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, I love roguelikes. I think they're fantastic. But I do think the content doesn't change much. So it's really, can you get a dopamine hit from the same thing over and over again? That's the real question. And a lot of the roguelikes, you had talked about unlocks before, that you mm-hmm. miss having unlocks. The roguelikes have a ton of unlocks, like Vampire Survivors, you can unlock different characters. Balatro, you unlock different cards. So there's a lot to unlock, which I think I like. Like that's the dopamine hit that I like,
mm-hmm.
is the unlocking aspect of it. And like new games, they don't really have that anymore, because everything's pretty much unlocked for you, or you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why I like these roguelikes.
I guess what I was going to say too is that it seems like every indie game now is a combination of one thing and the other. So when I brought up Neon White, it's a deck builder but a first person shooter. Drill Dozer is like a platformer mixed in with, but it's not really a platformer. It's, I don't even know how you would describe it.
It's a dig former. It's Pepper Grinder, not Drill Dozer.
Oh, did I say Drill Dozer? It's got a drill in it.
It's definitely a platformer. There's platforming aspects to it.
So, Towerfall, that's a big game that is multiplayer, but I don't know if there were a lot of streamers that like streamed it.
I mean, does it have online?
That's a good point. Yeah. Which is very odd. Seems like that is a game that would have online.
Yeah, like the games that do well, successfully, are these games that streamers could play with other streamers and get up to the antics.
And you know what game would take over the world, Johnny, if it was online?
What?
Heave Ho.
It would. We need an online version of Heave Ho. We'll be the pioneers when it comes out.
Uh-huh.
stupid grabby hands. Like that's a game we didn't know about until Josh told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many games out there that you just don't know. Like they could be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. So I mean I get offered keys a lot for games, and I typically don't accept them because I never want to feel forced to cover a game. But I mean, that's how these indie games are trying to get their names out there. Just have people make content about it.
Which like recently there was some Japanese developer who is making an indie game. Did you see this?
No, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. That I know. I didn't really give a lot of context. Just that there
Japanese
was
developers making
developer
a game.
Making
okay,
yeah. But he was saying he was calling out creators because they were asking for codes, and he's like, "Just buy the game." Like,
yeah.
Which I mean, I kind of get like why are indie developers having to ask creators to talk about their game, because that's the only way that they'll get seen. But like, we should just be buying their game to help them out even more, because yeah, but we could talk about the game, but like the creator is getting the game for free, right? They're not really helping the developer unless, like you
said,
they're
showing it to their audience,
right? So Johnny, why wouldn't you create a video on an indie game?
Because I don't feel like I need, like, so if I get a key,
yeah,
and I don't like the game, like, I don't want to make a video on it.
No, I know, but earlier you were saying that you don't make videos on indie games because they don't get the views.
Yeah.
And you just said that you would be showing it to your community.
Yeah, no, I agree. I should be making more content about indie games. I mm-hmm. admit that.
Mm-hmm.
Like these games that I want to play. I mean, I've tried to make videos about Vampire Survivors and Balatro. I mean, I don't think Vampire Survivors really needs the advertising now, but there are games that I would promote, but you know, it kind of sucks when you don't get views because people don't care. So I mean, it's a two-way street. Like, I don't think creators should have to buy every game in order to cover it, especially if the developer wants that game out, like wants to promote that game. Like, give creators the codes, and honestly, they should pay the creators. Like, it's not like I think it's wrong that developers just give game codes. Like, they should also pay the creators to do it, because you're putting a lot of time into this.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the game for hours.
Yeah,
you're developing the content for hours,
mm-hmm.
and you get a $10 game. And
but they
and the developers
also,
complaining that they're getting all this free advertisement, and they can't give their creator a $10 code.
They also put a lot of work into making their game.
No, yeah, but
a
no,
lot,
that, no, I don't care though. I don't care
their game.
Yeah, but so then they should get paid by consumers if they want to promote their game. Pay the creators. If a creator likes a game and they want to make content on it without getting paid, that's their discretion. But if you want creators to buy your game just so they could promote it, that's ridiculous. Like you're telling them to spend hours of their time to create content on something they might not even like. But you want them to promote your game. No, that doesn't sit well with me. Like, I understand that a lot of these big publishers like Nintendo and, you know, Call of Duty, they get free advertising because creators just make content on their stuff. Like, I don't get paid to make Nintendo content. I don't get paid to I don't even get codes for Nintendo content. I just like Nintendo games, so I make Nintendo content.
Mm.
But if some H-word game wants me to buy their game and promote it, no, you're going to pay me money. And I don't think, like, creators, they're selling themselves short by accepting just codes.
So, or I got the same email that you did the other day that was like, we'll pay you $500.
Oh, yeah, the $500 in-game dollars?
Currency.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Did they follow up? They followed up with me. And they said...
Oh, really? No.
They said, you don't even have to make a video on the game, but we think you'll really like it. Like, no,
huh.
That's not how this works.
Uh-huh.
If you pay me money, I'll make a video. I will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to. Do you know how much your time is worth?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is there like an actual
number?
No,
not a
number.
I'm just saying, is your time worth spending 5 to 10 hours? Just for a $10 game.
Your time is more valuable than money.
Yeah. So why not get paid? I've gotten paid from indie developers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they didn't get the results they wanted, but I still got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to do it just for codes. And I don't think anybody should just do it for just codes. And I understand people do it for codes because they want to make content that gets views. So like if you get an early code, you could possibly get an early review out there that gets seen more because it's like the first.
Yeah.
But you're still selling yourself short. Like a code is not worth it.
So moving the conversation along, I also think the other problem that a lot of people don't buy indie games is because like they just don't want to take the risk versus knowing the developers that they're used to, or like you said, like Activision making Call of Duty, like they know what they're going to get. But with an indie game, it's like, I don't know. This is, I've never heard of you. I don't know what your gameplay is like or what your style is like or like any of that until you just try. And that's the biggest thing to get people to do is to try new things. Like you said last week, people don't know what they like until they like it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the demo, like Pepper Grinder put out a demo. I don't know how that works, but put out a demo.
Mm-hmm.
Like an hour of your game. Like that's not gonna, I'm sure it takes a lot of effort to do a demo. I don't really know game development, but if you want to, like, the only way you could get your game out there is to promote it. A demo on the eShop would be good. You know how, you know, giving codes to creators so they can make content on it, so people could watch reviews, that helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, we just need to hear from the community as far as how people feel about indie games, if they play indie games, what's their holdup with indie games. Because, I mean, there are a lot, right? Like, I want to support all the indie devs that I can and all their games, but I also can't say that I'm wearing a cape right now because I don't. Like, there's just so many games out there, and there are games that I would love to play that I just haven't yet.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a ton of games.
And there's definitely games out every week that aren't indie games.
Yeah.
And which, again, shouldn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, just sifting through the... They just have to get it in front of people somehow.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main holdups for people are, you know, they don't look like modern games.
Mm.
They're, you know, the price of them could turn people off because if it's a $15 game, like maybe people are like, well, it's probably not that large of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you could get like thousands of hours out of Stardew.
Isn't that what people are looking for, is like games that aren't going to take that long to play?
No. I think that's wrong.
You think people are looking for longer games when they can't even finish those games?
I think people want to get their money's worth out of games.
Which should just be
the experience, right? We are in a bubble. We are in a bubble. And like, people don't want a 5-hour, $60 game.
Uh huh.
I mean, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to afford games like Peach. Mm-hmm. But that's a 5-6 hour game for $60? No, people want to be able to spend $60 and be good for 6 months. Like,
I don't know about that. You're saying that they want to play a game for 6 months? Like, they're spending $60 to play a game for 6 months when people game for a week for, like...
We are in a bubble. Like, the general public doesn't care about a game every week. They want one or two games to get them through a year. That's why people still buy Madden. That's why people still play Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Because those games offer so much playtime that they don't have to worry about other games.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in a bubble, but like, that's the community that we're talking to, right? We're not talking to the casuals right now, right? We're just talking to, because even just people in our community.
All right, so people in our community, do you want a $60 game that is 5 hours?
That's not what I'm saying.
That's 100% what you're saying. People want shorter games. No,
we were talking about when we were talking about indie games that you.
So Pepper Grinder is 4 hours. You want to play that game? Pepper Grinder, 4 hours.
I don't know. Did you enjoy it? Was that a fun game for you?
I probably wouldn't recommend it. How much was it? $15.
And that's not enough for you for a 4 hour
game? 4 hours? No. Like
what for $15? How long should that last?
15 hours. Dollar per hour. How is that not valid? I can play Vampire Survivors for hundreds of hours for $5. That's the kind of experience I want.
Okay.
Bellatro, 30 hours. I have $15.
Mm-hmm.
Hades, $25, hundreds of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what people want. They don't want 3-4 hour games. I can guarantee you people don't want 3-4 hour games.
But they don't want like 70 hour games.
Some people do.
If it's the same,
I would say the majority of people want 20 to 30 hour games. Anything under that, like, I don't know. 4 hours is super short for a game. Like, trying to justify that for any price is hard.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way about movies? I know that we kind of go to this a lot and that they're different mediums, but like.
Yeah, but they're all the same price. They're all $15.
Okay. Do you still feel like you're getting your money's worth when you're watching a 2-hour to 3-hour movie?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's
There's
no prices to judge it off of. It's okay, $15 or it's just $15.
Okay, but you were just saying that Pepper Grinder was $15 and it's a 4 hour game, but
it's a different medium. You say I compare apples to oranges. You're comparing apples to oranges right now. There's no movie that's 15 hours long.
Good. I wouldn't want to sit through that.
That's why I don't want to sit through 30-hour story games. Because they suck. They can't hold it.
Well, but you just said most of the community wants a 20 to 30-hour game.
Yeah, but not strictly story games. Like, Vampire Survivors is not story. Bellatro is not story. Hades, kind of, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so you just want a game that you can do that is repeatable.
I just want a game that I can play for 30 hours.
No. You want a game that is something that you are used to that you can do over and over and over again. You don't want an experience. 70 hours. Okay.
Play Mario for 30 hours.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Like, 5-hour games, they're not the vibe. They're too short at any price point.
So what are indie developers supposed to do? Because this is a conversation about indie games.
Make longer games.
And right now, that's not helping their case. To make longer games?
Yeah, make longer games.
That cost more money.
How much do you think Pepper Grinder costs?
I don't know.
It's a four-world game. It probably doesn't cost that much.
Yeah, it probably did. If you're an indie developer, or
a $5 game, it's too short. It's too short. Anybody will tell you it's too short for $15.
I don't know, man.
And that's the problem with indie games. That's why people don't get them, because
they can't win, man. They can't win. They're either too short.
They can make long. They can make longer games.
They don't look the way that people want them. They're too short or they're too pricey. Like, how are they supposed to win when there's all of these caveats?
Make longer games and promote them. It's pretty simple.
Okay, then you make an indie game.
I always wanted to. Like, I would, if I knew how to make a video game, I would love to make a video game.
Yeah.
I feel like the people that make video game, like the, a lot of people that make video games, they don't even play video games because a lot of the decisions just don't make sense. And I would make a good one. I just don't know how to make it.
I've never heard that before, but I kind of get what you're saying. Like, they're just engineers more so than, but I don't know. Like, you have to think about how a player would play, right? I'm going back to movies again, but like, a good director is somebody that also knows how to act.
I don't know if that's true.
I think it's true because you got to know how to talk to your actors. You got,
there's a lot of directors that were never actors. Steven Spielberg was never an actor.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
I mean, he wasn't maybe an actor in like big movies, but he definitely made home movies with his friends. So he was an actor. Like, he was learning how to be in front of the camera.
The games, like the indie games that do well, typically they feel like passion projects.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some that just, they don't, they feel like shovelware. And then people, they don't even, like, how could you play certain games and be like, this, I, yeah, we can put this out, it's good. Like, I'm just trying to think of a game that, like, there's a bunch of shovelware games on Switch. Like, why are they putting those out? Who's buying them?
There's Who wants probably to play in-app them? Purchases. And they're not.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I want people to play indie games, but I also want like a satisfying experience.
I don't know what satisfies you except for Vampire Survivors, Balatro, Brotato. Like, that is your game and that's all that you're looking for.
I love platformers. But not four-hour platformers. Like Dead Cells, that's a platformer. Mm-hmm. It's also a roguelike. But Metroidvanias,
mm-hmm.
those are good. Like Blasphemous is really good. I don't know why saying a four-hour game is too short is so offensive.
I think it because it's subjective.
It's not.
Depends
it's
what you get out of
that
it.
Nobody wants to play a four-hour game.
It also depends on how fast you're able to play it. Like, it might take 4 hours for you, but that doesn't mean that it's going to take 4 hours for everybody else.
Average it out, it's going to be around that for everybody.
It's the experience. I don't know about that.
Why didn't you buy Pepper Grinder then? Why haven't you bought these other indie games then?
I've told you because there's so many games and right now, like, I feel guilty that I haven't played some of these independent games, but you and I are both Nintendo content creators and more so, like, you create more content around other games than I do. But I am focused on Nintendo first party games or whatever is like calling to me. And indie games, like, I have to put on the back burner, which isn't supportive at all. So, like I said earlier, I'm not wearing a cape. Like, I can't say that I'm on the top of the hill supporting indie developers, but I want to. I want them to get the recognition, but that also falls on me doing my part and trying to support them.
Yeah. I mean, I need to make more content for it too. It's just, it's a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
People don't buy them because they don't know about them. And that people don't know about them because nobody wants to make content about them. Nobody makes content about them because nobody watches it.
Hmm. If anybody is listening and they know an indie developer that wants to come on the show and talk about what it's like to develop an independent game, let us know. Message us, find us on Twitter, in the Discord, anywhere. Because I think you and I are both bozos, not the bozo in the community, but just bozos in general about game development. And I wish that we knew more about it, but also that's kind of the fun of not knowing and learning as we go.
Yeah. Play Vampire Survivors. And Bellatro.